The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hi, this is Craig Bogart, creator of The Ineffables, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 171. I hope you're doing well out there. I'm doing very, very well. Maybe a little bit disappointed, like many, many other people, that I am not a lottery winner. I think there's lots of people out there that share that same feeling that I do. I got to be honest with you. I'm not a big gambler. But I did plunk down a couple of bucks to take a shot in the dark at maybe winning that $1.6 billion jackpot. I didn't really lose sleep over the fact that I didn't. But, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. I just kind of wonder what somebody does with all that money. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can only spend so much of it, I suppose. I mean, I don't know. I'd like to try. But anyways, you know what? Enough of this lottery talk. Let's talk about episode number 171 and who is going to be my guest. My guest is Max Groh. He is a filmmaker here in Columbus, Ohio. He's done a lot of things here, and you're going to hear all of the things that he has done, all the accolades he has under his belt. But currently, right now, he's out promoting his movie, which just got released on DVD and Blu-ray, and also on VHS. That's right, I said VHS. But I'm talking about his project, Bong of the Living Dead. It's a stoner zombie flick. In which Max will talk during our conversation about why he decided to merge those two genres. And hey, it's a funny, terrifying film. It's got everything you want, you know, when you're talking about both zombie films and stoner films. It's got everything you want in it. And I was glad that he got a chance to come on and talk a little bit about it. And for some of you folks that are avid listeners to the PVD Cast, Max Groh may sound familiar because his sister was Hannah Groh, the proprietor of the former Video Central video store here in Columbus, Ohio. Hannah was on episode number 124 about a year and a half ago. And to be honest with you, it's still to this day, it's one of my critically acclaimed episodes. And people really, really still compliment me on that. It's a shame that Video Central's not around. And, you know, I'm not going to get into all the ins and outs about that. But Max did relay the information to me that Hannah has found a new job and that she's doing well, and that's excellent. I'm glad to hear that. I'd like to take a couple moments to talk about Scream Team Releasing. They're the company behind Bong and the Living Dead being put to DVD, Blu-ray, and VHS. I bought a copy of Bong myself. About 30 minutes after ordering it, in my email was a thank you from Scream Team Releasing. That's right. They sent me a quick email to say thank you for buying this movie. Thank you for being a patron to our business. Because, man, they're independent, just like me. And, you know, it was just two episodes ago, I was on here bitching about, you know, customer service and how sometimes it doesn't really happen. And here's an example of how it does happen. And so Scream Team Releasing, I want to give you a tip of the hat, good sirs, good ladies, for being polite and giving good customer service. And as a matter of fact, the movie, I bought the DVD Blu-ray combo, but that was in my mailbox in like 4 days. I forget where they're based out of, but it's nowhere in Ohio and it's not relatively close. So that is some awesome customer service. Scream Team Releasing, thank you very much for getting me my copy of Bong of the Living Dead. But you know, since we're talking about companies, I'm going to throw it out there again, my open challenge, so to speak. If you are an owner of a business, if you're a mom and pop business, if you're independent and you're thinking about advertising, I'd like to talk to you about it because the PVD Cast is looking for some new sponsors. Not that Audible isn't great. They've been a fantastic sponsor, but I'm looking to branch out some folks. I think that the PVD Cast is growing and growing and growing. Heck, I got somebody listening in South Dakota, man. South freaking Dakota. So if you are one of those individuals that has a small business or industry and you want to do some advertising with the PVD cast, let me know. You can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can even leave me a message over on the Facebook page of the PVD cast. That, of course, is facebook.com/PVDcast. So I would love to have some more folks join here on the PVD to spread the word about their business. I'd like to help them do that. So if it's something that you're interested in, let me know, folks. Let me know. But now let's talk about our sponsor of today's podcast, and that would be the fine folks at Audible. As you know, you can get a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. They have over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, tablet, whatever you use to listen to great books. And for you, the listeners of the PVD cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. They have tons of books on movies. I guarantee it. I've perused through their catalog. In fact, they even have some great, great books on horror movies. So if you need to read up on movies, you have no excuse. Audible's got you covered. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast for your free audiobook. And now I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I sit down with Max Groh, and we're going to talk about Bong of the Living Dead. All right, folks, I'm sitting down this evening with Max Groh. Max, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good, John. Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, you're welcome. This is actually the second time you've mentioned on this podcast.
My sister was on your podcast.
That's right.
Hannah Groh for Video Central.
That's right.
All things movies.
Mm-hmm. Episode 124, as a matter of fact.
Oh, you're a nerd. Or did you research that? Is it in your notes?
It actually was in my notes. I'm not gonna lie, I had to look it up. I'm not sure what I knew the general ballpark.
So wait, then what episode is this?
This is 171.
Oh yeah, you crank. I see the episode up there all the time.
Yeah.
I like the mix too.
Thank you.
It's
comics, it's wrestling, some movie stuff, some crazy bullshit too. Sometimes
it's all over the place. Not all over the place, but it's a. It's a large audience, I think,
for that mix of
specific nerddom.
Yeah.
Nerddom.
Cool, man. I appreciate geekdom. The kind words there. Yeah. Well, we are here to talk about the fact that you have a movie that you are the director of and the co-writer of, Bong of the Living Dead, which we'll talk all about it. We'll talk all about it, but maybe let's let the listeners know a little bit about you.
Well, I'm a Pisces.
Do you like long walks on
yes.
the beach?
I appreciate moonlit walks.
You're Columbus born and bred, right?
Well, I was actually born in Cincinnati. We moved up here kindergarten, like four years old. But yeah, I'm Columbus bred.
Okay.
Grew up in Clintonville. I went to Watterson, and I've been pretty active in the creative community. Like, since I was a kid, I was a child actor. I was in all the school plays.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I did a couple things with like Columbus Children's Theater and Davis Center.
Cool.
I liked acting, and I also always loved like blood and scars and makeup effects and stuff. So naturally, I loved movies as well. We were a movie family growing up. Hannah probably talked about we had a video store up the street.
Yeah.
You know, like lots of movies. It wasn't like we were watching like Monday Night Football. We were like watching like, you know,
Tron.
Swiss Family Robinson.
Oh, okay. Tron.
Yeah, the Disney live actions, you know. Tron was one of them, I'm sure. It very, very quickly went to like Terminator and Predator and Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know.
Sure.
But Indiana Jones is my boy.
There you go.
But that being said, that's why, you know, I've been a filmmaker in Columbus for 10 years. Man, I've worked on tons of shorts. I helped get the Mid-Ohio Filmmakers Association running. I ran the national faction of the Indie Club here for a while. Also attended Indie Club back in the day. Really have tried to do the 48s and get into the filmmaking community here, because Columbus has a good filmmaking community.
Oh, they do. Yeah, my experience has been very good, although I haven't been doing it as long as you have, but
You know, it's a great experience for folks that want to do that.
Yeah, it's cool to see how many new people are making movies and then how many people are still making movies in Columbus, you know? So it's a vibrant filmmaking scene, and it's why I wouldn't want to go anywhere else. I like it here.
Yeah. And I think that, I don't know, I come from a very different vantage point where I don't feel like, especially in 2018, you have to be on one of the coasts. I don't think you have to be in New York City. I don't think you have to be in L.A. I mean, you could be anywhere.
Not if you want to do this level. You know, maybe some of the professional opportunities are more in those cities. But, you know, everyone I know that works professionally in filmmaking, like, never has time to make any of their own movies and
right,
stuff.
True.
So,
very true.
You know, it just kind of depends. And at my level, you know, it's I'm a hobbyist. I don't do it professionally, you know, but there is that opportunity in Columbus, but I think more so there's an opportunity to kind of live where I live in the world where you can kind of be a weekend warrior or do like a big project a year and find some success at it, you know, get some distribution. As far as like what you're saying, like you don't have to like get your movie out on Blu-ray or in the theaters or something. You don't have to be in LA or, you know, and sometimes I think some of the best film festivals aren't on the coast. They're in all throughout the Midwest and, you know, like, Texas is big for that stuff. And it just kind of is, it's not a requisite to move to LA to be successful in the movie industry.
And you just came back from Texas. You were telling me off air, what, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
The Austin Revolution Film Festival.
And you said it was amazing. So, again, just a quick segue on that. You saw a lot of cool movies on there?
Yeah, we saw one called Bernadette that it's like kind of this coming of age, just a great story that was kind of students kind of made it. And under the direction of this guy named John and his brother James, I think. I'm sorry. And I can't really pronounce their last name. It's like Scythos. Bernadette was great. But yeah, James Christopher runs a great festival down there. There was tons of people there. All types of movies, shorts, documentaries, dramas, comedy. It's all over the place. So he has great awards, great communication, and just a lot of great programming. And plus, it's in Austin, and it was cool. And some of the best tacos I've ever had in my life down there.
It's great awesome. Movies, great tacos.
Yeah, it was awesome.
There you go. It's a total experience.
Yeah. But I mean, that's right smack dab in the middle. That's nowhere near New York or LA.
Exactly. You are a member of Backwards Slate Productions, a production company here based in Columbus. So what role do you have in Backwards Slate Production?
Well,
do you wear many hats, as they say?
Yeah, we all kind of do. It's just the five of us, and one's in New York, actually. He's our buddy Daryl is out being a professional filmmaker in New York. He's shooting and gaffing and gripping and doing stuff out there, but... we all kind of do everything. I would say I'm creative director. I'm very often pitted with directing, just because I work well in that role. But we all come up with ideas and just, we're very compatible. You know, my writing partner, Tim Mayo, we've been friends since I was 4 years old. We go way back and we always, you know, we were in Scouts together. We played Dungeons and Dragons together, you know, which, man, if you played D&D, your character building skills are at like a +5 if you had D&D, because it's just, that's an in-depth character you build and play. And that's kind of like what we do with movies.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
I'm a big character guy. I guess there's two ways of thinking. You can have a story that everyone else has, but have these really unique characters, or you can kind of have this crazy unique story with kind of like average, you know, cliched characters in it. But I like to focus less on the plot and more on the characters. Yeah. I think if you have engaging, interesting, cool characters and unique characters, or maybe some characters that remind people of other characters, or maybe some characters that they've never seen before. If you have those people playing, it doesn't matter if the A to B to C, like common mystery, like the format is
secondary.
It would be secondary if you enjoy the people going in it, you know. I mean, I like seeing stuff that like, crazy plots that twists or unique stories, you know, but, and I'm not saying there's not stuff with both, good characters and story, but I tend to focus on characters first, and Tim always does as well. So we always work really well together. And then Tiffany and Vince. Vince is like the true Renaissance man of he does everything. He does technical side, creative side, administrating side. Tiffany is
your pure guy. Yeah, there you go.
Tiffany is like our talent for sure.
Okay.
But also super strong in like the administrative part. I mean, she keeps all our forms, paperwork, legality stuff. Like she is kind of like OCD in that way. She's always our lister on the board. You know, she has the best handwriting. Like, Tiffany is, sometimes I tend to get like lost in the fantasy or the, and she's just very good at like the logistics and pulling us back and down to earth.
So you seem to have a perfect balance.
Yeah, it really works out good. I guess my role is just being part of that team.
So did you go to film school?
I did. I went to Columbia in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Just for a year. Then I decided to not go to school and take all the checks they gave me to go to school and cash them and make a horror movie without knowing what I was doing. And that was in like 2002 to 2004. It was called Bloody Mary. Urban legend thing where a bunch of teenagers conjure Bloody Mary, and Bloody Mary follows them into Studio 35, and they get locked in there, and she kills them all.
Oh, okay. Wait, your reaction is are you not happy with the way the film turned out?
It just
your reaction.
I actually am, but
okay.
We didn't know what to do with it. No one knew what we were doing. In hindsight, it probably wasn't the best idea because I was supposed to give all that money back when I dropped out of school, but instead I bought like a Sony DCR VX2000 and like a bunch of waters and Cokes, and we just like a mountain of soda, and then I got a couple credit cards we immediately maxed out and never paid again to make this movie that I then ended up paying for like the next 15 years. My life, like legally obligated to pay for.
Okay.
Bloody Mary exists on like maybe 8 to 10 burned CDs around town, and probably on about 3 or 4 old computer towers in Tim's closet. But really, that's what kind of gave us the push to be like, that's where we started writing Bong. Because we were like, let's start something we can really do. We knew right away, wow, Bloody Mary is a disaster. We need to like learn what to do.
So can I ask real quick though, is it necessary to go to film school? Because I mean, you hear different theories. I mean, you know, you listen to some of the big names that have made it. You know, I know I've read articles with Robert Rodriguez stating it's really overrated. You know, if you have a vision, you know, you can learn how to do the technical aspect. And in today's world, is it necessary to go to film school?
Okay, yes.
Okay. Not, in your opinion, yes.
But
okay.
Not, it doesn't have to be, your school can be experience.
Okay.
If you work professionally, like you're going to learn more in a day of rigging off a grip truck than a whole semester at film school about what making a movie is like, you know? And I think people that tend to research and watch tons and tons of movies also have an advantage. That in a way can be a school. Is just watching endless movies, you know, and developing a critical eye for film can be through experience by watching a lot of movies.
Okay.
So I think being on set, watching a lot of movies, but really being on set and seeing how different areas work. Mm-hmm. So work as a grip, a gaffer, a PA, a AD, you know, kind of work all over on set. I think is probably just as valuable as would be like going to like Columbia College Film School for 4 years, where it's just so condensed in film school. So, okay. I, you know, 10 years of experience is going to be as good as going to a film school, but you need some sort of education because you can't just like movies and then buy a camera and make one.
Right. It's a lot harder than it seems.
There's reasons and rules and things to do that if you don't, your movie looks like shit and you won't even know why it doesn't look quite like the movies you've been watching your whole life. So you need an education, I think, for sure, because you're just going to be a leg up if you want to be a filmmaker. And at that age, I mean, going to a film school is a good way to do it. Like,
okay.
And I'm not saying I did it wrong. I had a lot of experience, yeah. In hindsight, I probably would not have finished school. I just probably would have paid better attention to my finances and not maxed those fucking credit cards out.
Right.
Hey, but again, you talk about experience.
Yeah, you learned a very hard lesson.
It was a hard lesson that then made me work on every feature short commercial project for the next 10 years in Columbus. I was like, give it to me. What do you got? I'll work on it. I'll do special effects. Cool. I'll do craft service. Cool. I'll help. I'll hold this camera. I'll do, just gobbled it up. And also met a lot of friends.
Sure. Yeah,
along the way, too, you know. So, When it came time to do Bong of the Living Dead, we had practiced. We had done a 20-minute short. We had done countless shorts, music videos. You know, we had gotten together to shoot as a team, like with people in real life for fun and no money for years. And so Bong was a lot of favors that I called in, you know, and also a lot of like, let's hang out, love of the game, you know. No one's really getting paid here. We're just kind of trying to make this movie.
Well, let's talk about it. Bong of the Living Dead.
Yeah, let's talk about Bong of the Living Dead.
Let's go right to it. Great segue. So,
yeah, I planned that.
You did. You told me as soon as you.
I got bullet points here.
Let's go. Listen, avid listeners don't buy that bullshit one bit.
Yeah,
they're like, no, this is John. He doesn't do that shit. Bong of the Living Dead, can you kind of maybe describe it for the listeners here in a very short, brief synopsis?
I would say Bong of the Living Dead is the kind of story of five lifelong friends that in adulthood and with the addition of their new friend Kate encounter the zombie apocalypse.
Okay.
Now it's what they've always wanted. They constantly watch movies about zombies. They talk about it. They smoke weed. They fantasize about this happening. And when it happens, it's not all it's cracked up to be, and it kind of isn't exactly what they expected. And they might kind of smoke their way through, miss out on a couple things they were looking forward to. But also in that time, that you know, they really grow as friends. I'd say that at the core of the movie, Bong of the Living Dead, yeah, there's zombies and there's weed, but it's about friends and friendship.
Okay, and it stars... Tiffany Arnold, Eric Bosso?
Bozo. Eric Basso.
Basso.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
G-Rex.
Is that his nickname?
It's his middle parenthetical, yeah.
Oh, okay. Daniel Allen, is it Keeley?
Kylie,
okay. Dan Nye, a whole host of other folks. So
Laura Emock is in there.
Yes, Laura Emock.
Caitlin Taylor.
Yes.
And then pretty much everyone in the Columbus filmmaking scene at some point shows up in it.
Yeah. Okay.
And then a ton of like awesome Indiegogo supporters as zombies.
So
like,
how
paid $20 to be a zombie.
That's pretty sweet. Awesome. It will come to the indie. Well, I'm curious about what you think about crowdfunding, but how was it working with these folks? Now, I know some of them you have worked with in the past, as you mentioned. So it was a pretty smooth.
Well, a lot of the people we knew and knew going in which role they were going to play, but we did have auditions. We saw like 175 people.
Really?
Because we had a large cast to fill and some key roles. And part of the audition process is I wanted to know like some things about them, like what kind of cereal they liked. We made everyone act like a zombie. I gave them all improv because really we were checking at the first round of auditions to see who was like cool enough to chill and to hang out, because like we are very much like first comes food, like what you're eating on set, then fun, like everyone's got to be having a good time, and then you worry about the film.
Okay.
So
your philosophy.
Yes, okay. We were looking for the cool kids. Okay. And I think we put together the best cast and crew we could have for that camaraderie, and the acting ability in this film is top notch. I think, I mean, I still look at it and I believe most of it. It's mostly good directing, actually, instead of the acting, but I can see it.
You can see it.
I can see my work.
You are very humble.
I mean, the cast is awesome, man. It is a great cast. Anyone that's seen the movie can attest to how good the acting is. And if you haven't seen the movie, find the movie, and I'll tell you how. ScreamTeamReleasing.com. I'll plug that later, but
that's okay.
Go
it's
find
in my notes.
It and watch so, it because the actors were great and they made the thing, you know,
uh-huh.
Brought everyone together because everyone believed it, you know.
Did Did you purposely decide that you said, I'm going to take two genres and combine them? I'm going to take like the stoner comedy and the horror of zombies. I'm going to combine them. That was
very much so. During Bloody Mary, we couldn't decide if we were going to do a zombie movie or a stoner comedy.
Okay.
And so you said, literally, we kind of were like, let's do both. And Vince was sitting right there and goes, call the Bong of the Dead. And we were like, yes.
Nice.
Done.
Done and done.
It was almost a joke. We had these joke titles we would come up with as, what's our next movie? You know, and like things. And so Bong of the Living Dead became kind of like what would happen during it. And then we decided, like, we need a project to write, something we're not going to shoot right away. Let's write something as if we have a million or kabillion dollar budget. No holds barred to like learn how to write a feature script, you know? And then when we were doing that, we're like, what if it's Bong the Dead? You know, we keep joking about it. Let's just do it. So, and so that's where it came from, was trying to combine these two.
Okay.
That duality too is in the film throughout. There's always twos. There's fast zombies and slow zombies. There's these dick characters and our stoner characters. The first half is very funny and bright and vibrant. And the second half is very kind of zombie apocalyptic, you know? So like that two, that stoner and horror kind of duality was, we really strove for that through the whole process actually.
And so with that kind of that, what's the word I'm looking for? That artistic vision. There's the words I was looking for. Is that why it took a lot of rewrites? Because you've said in other interviews it took like 20-some-odd rewrites, correct?
Yeah, but I would say a lot of that was we knew we weren't ready to shoot a feature. I'd say the first 10, 12 drafts of that were huge budgeted, like very long, more characters, more deaths. Okay. You know, we were just trying to like, we had this massive kind of story. And it wasn't until probably 8-9 years into that process where we decided we were going to shoot it. And then there was only a couple rewrites to like pare it down to our level of shootability.
Okay.
And then a couple more drafts of story edits to really connect with the audience, you know. Dan Kiley actually came in real late into the process and kind of changed our ending a little bit because it was super bleak, like almost too apocalyptic, you know, and threw a little bit of the fun back in, and that really worked for the film really well. And but it was that hot rod in the car in the garage that we just kept, you know, that working on like a project car. And yeah, it was done and it could run, but until it had that like final detail, that pinstriping, you know, we weren't ready to like release it. And so we took our time with the script. We did like over the 10 years, we did two full like 30 person cast read throughs at libraries and rooms like this, you know, like did.
It's a very small,
It's a great place to do a table read, and we did it and got feedback every time. We showed it to a lot of people almost every draft to try and get input. But yeah, first we built those characters, and it took a couple drafts to find that. And you know, like really, it wasn't that we couldn't get it right; it was that we had the time that we had luxury, you know. Okay. Yeah, so it was more just, it was so long, just a project that we probably would never do, that when we decided to do it, then we just had to do a couple more drafts, you know.
I read in doing some research that Bong has a little bit of nudity in it, correct?
There is some nudity. So it's very R-rated.
Can I ask, given today's society, how was that subject approached? I mean, you know, I don't know if you agree with me. I think we live in a society right now that everybody's very, 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 very sensitive about things. And maybe that's good, maybe that's bad. I'm not here to debate that. But when you have something like that, how was the subject approached?
Well, I've had nudity in my films before, and I always feel there's a reason for it. This is a very, very heavy genre piece. We want it to explore all the really cliched motifs of that genre in the first half of the film. And so there's nudity in the first half of the film and raunchy sex scenes, and but also some sweet ones. We tried to be real tasteful, but I had then a juxtaposition of kind of like sad nudity in the second half of the film. And You know, so I wanted both of those in there, and I had those reasons, and I approached all my actresses very openly and gave them the reasons, and also had it shot listed out, kind of like what exactly would be shown or required, or and just basically made sure they were completely comfortable with it before we even got into the casting process. And then you keep a very professional, you know, and make sure comfort while they're going on. You know, I had nudity in my films before, and I always have very, I think, strong female characters, but then I also have lots of females on my crew as well, you know, like Backward Slate is all inclusive. We work well with everybody, so it's a group effort to make that person as comfortable as possible. I don't think I had any problems.
Well, but, I mean,
To me, as far as like, could I have done the film without nudity? Like, probably, but I think there'd be a lot of genre fans out there going,
"No, that's not how it is."
Yeah, right. And it's a very 80s style kind of movie. And in the 80s, I was watching horror movies mostly because I knew there was a good chance there'd be some boobs in there. I mean, you look at the boxes when you're a kid in the 80s at the movie store, and it's like you turn it back, it's rated R, there's a hot chick on the back.
Yes.
You're going to get that over, you know, maybe something great like Pumpkinhead that had no chicks and on the front, no boobs, you know, but you're going to watch that other one because there might be boobs in it.
So what does that say about me? Because I never had that. Like, when I went to the video store, I was... Well, first of all, I was always going to the wrestling part first, but I mean, after that,
though, I think it's it's that kid that discovers the horror movie that has the boobs in it, that becomes part of the attraction.
Okay.
Just like the heads getting cut off is, the good blood splatters are, just like the cuss words are, you know, like, or the monsters, you know, like, it's just part of it. And my kids in the movie are talking about boobs when they're kids, and their characters are talking about boobs, and they're boob kids, you know, so... Yeah, we have boobs in the movie. It's called Bong of the Living Dead. There's something for everybody.
For everybody. You actually have had this nominated to be shown at several film fests, right?
Yeah, we have been at a lot of film fests.
Yeah, Louisville. Circuit, Louisville coming up, or is that one?
We just did Imaginarium Convention
That's Louisville.
We got Best Feature there.
Cool,
which
congrats.
Is really cool.
Congrats.
And like I said, we were at Austin Revolution Film Festival. We started with Nightmares Film Festival last year, which is coming up this week, which is weird because it means it's like a year anniversary of Bong on the circuit.
Okay.
So we're very much near the end of our festival run, but we've been at about 20.
What's the farthest away that you guys have been invited to or had the...
We were in Toronto.
Toronto, Ontario. Nice.
We're in London coming up.
Wait, London, England?
London, England. Nice. I think it's like the Soho Horror Fest. Okay. I think that's what it is.
Are you guys going to
Texas over? Was the farthest, I think, that I went to for sure. But we have been in like Santa Ana, which is by LA in California, where Lara Mock and Ben Brown, who's in the movie and did all the digital effects, got to go rep us in California because they live out there now, which was really cool.
Who's repping over in England? Are you guys going to go over?
I don't think so. It was a little short notice. I don't have a passport. That takes a lot of time.
Oh, it does, yeah.
The guy that got us over there is from Cincinnati, or lived in, not from there, but was in Cincinnati and got wind of us and invited us over, Richard Ogpin.
Okay.
I think his name is. So.
All right.
Yeah, that's probably going to be the farthest away.
Yeah, because that's really far.
Yeah. We haven't looked into a lot of like international festivals yet. You know, we're thinking that might be in the beginning of this next year. We'll try to look for some submissions there. But really, it's kind of sad when I'm not going to be able to travel around and watch Bong in all these different cities.
Do you enjoy that? You see the reaction of the audience?
I didn't think I would ever. I was like, man, you know, but I'm not sick of the movie. I still laugh at it. And it's way better in a room full of people that are like reacting to it.
I would assume it would be, yeah.
So I do get a kick out of it like every time.
And yeah, I mean, I'll totally miss it. I've seen it in some cool spots, cool screening rooms, cool theaters, like beautiful theaters, like the drive-in, the Skyline drive-in in Indiana. That was badass, you know, 500-foot like screen outside, you know. So it was awesome opportunities provided by these festivals, not just for laurels or the awards, but for the screening, the meeting, the people, the travel is invaluable. It's really cool.
Well, let's talk about where you can get it. You can get it on DVD, Blu-ray, and even a limited edition VHS.
It's an awesome VHS. It's a green VHS. I think they're like the last green VHS in the world we found and got them all, and just... Dan Kiley did the cover art for it. It looks like Return of the Living Dead 2. Maybe Return of the Living Dead. It looks like old school 80s, clamshell VHS. And then the quality is so cool, actually. I just got mine.
Does it have a little bit of the sketchiness on the side?
Oh, yeah. It kind of looks like shit.
Yeah.
Well, we have VHS stuff in the film.
Okay.
We actually converted stuff to VCR and then played it back and digitally captured it and blew it up and used real VHS stuff. And that stuff looks really VHS-y on the VHS. But it's so cool, man. Just the sound it makes when you put it in that VCR is badass. But yeah, it's a DVD Blu-ray combo. So you get both for the best of both worlds. You can get it at ScreamTeamReleasing.com. They also have kind of signed versions of version with a deluxe like weed brick slip cover posters. And then also Justin, who runs Scream Team, has a slew of other awesome horror movies on there.
Okay.
That's kind of like the place to be for the cool indie horror. His movie, The Barn, is fantastic. It's really trick-or-treaty horror.
Okay.
Happens on trick-or-treat night. There's candy. Okay. There's, you know, like I love the actual Halloween horror movies. There's also stuff coming this year and next. Like he's started buying up all these cool movies and is releasing them. So check out his site for all those movies on there are gold.
ScreamTeamReleasing.com. Mm-hmm. I have it in my notes. You still have a VCR that works?
I procured some for the stuff we did for Bong.
Oh, okay. So you kept one.
Yes. And, actually, I think I have several. So if you need one, contact me. I might be able to hook you up. All right.
There you go. Or yes. So if you're listening at home and you're like, I need a VCR, just let me know. I'll forward it on to Max or you can tweet him or whatnot.
I might have one for you.
Yeah. I was going to say, cause I still have one that works. And actually it's the clock in my living room.
That's perfect.
It's perfect, man. It's perfect. Okay, let's talk about a couple of other projects that you've done. You did a documentary about going vegan, right? Big Max, correct?
Yeah, so Justin Russell, who shot Bong of the Living Dead, and also has a movie called The Sleeper available on Scream Team Releasing.
Okay.
An 80s throwback slasher that Tiffany Arnold is in. I was there for one day. I really added a lot. I sat on a couch and watched. It was great. But yeah, The Sleeper's a great movie. Justin's a great guy. We worked on tons of stuff together, and he was my first choice to shoot Bong.
So he's the director of photography for Bong?
Yes. Okay. And so we were working and practicing for Bong. We did like a short 20-minute kind of murder mystery that he was on, and we made a bet. He's a strict vegan. Marathon runner, complete opposite of me. I am a very big guy, meat eater. I do not run marathons. I probably would have trouble driving 26.2 miles. So Justin and I are like opposites and we get along beautifully. And I was just giving him so much shit for being vegan and packing rice when we were eating lunch. You know, he'd like had his own little vegan stuff.
Yeah,
and
we
made a bet that I could go vegan for a week. And he was like, do it for a month and you got a deal. And then our buddy David was like, well, you guys should definitely film that. And that's exactly what we did.
Exactly
he followed me around for 30 days, like 8 to 12 hours a day. We hung out and just, we went to restaurants, we went shopping, we cooked, we went to doctors and nutritionists. We kind of did it all. And it ended up being more about like what it's like to hang out with me. I don't know. There's a lot of driving around smoking weed in that documentary about veganism.
Wait, is that vegan? Considering?
Yeah, when you smoke it out of a baby carrot, for sure.
So yeah, that's called Big Max, and it's on Amazon right now.
Okay.
Or iTunes, maybe. I think
might be on iTunes now. It's on iTunes as well. Yes.
They make it harder to find because we get more money when it comes from iTunes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow.
If we get any at all, I don't know. It's not.
Well, how's it been received? Have you gotten any?
Oh, people love it. Really? People love it. Yeah, okay. We've had a great response to it. It's really funny. It's really endearing. There's some scenes of us shooting bong and some bong reshoots in there. It was right before we shot bong, and so we kind of come back later to see where I'm at after the month. Oh,
okay.
You know.
Okay.
And, there's just a good camaraderie there, that the same kind of stuff that bleeds through into bong with Justin and I just hanging out. I mean, at first he kept saying, don't look at the camera. No, don't talk to me. You can't, you have to act like I'm not here. And I'm like, I'm not just going to like be like, this is me and myself. You're in this movie already. Like, yeah. Sorry. So it's a really cool documentary.
And so you're not vegan anymore?
I am not vegan. Really, vegan implies like a whole lifestyle and like an okay. ideology to it, and so, like no leather. Like, yeah, you don't wear leather. Anything processed by an animal or anything like tested through an animal or anything like.
Damn it! There goes your shot at being in the next Mad Max film.
See,
you're not allowed to wear leather.
So yeah, I'm not vegan. I was okay. plant based, like, you know, purely okay. plant based. No dairy, no animal products, nothing processed by an animal, okay. no honey, stuff like that you don't think about. Yeah, just strict veganism. And so you have to see if I make it the 30 days.
Okay.
It was in November, man. It was a rough Thanksgiving.
Holy cow, yeah. You're a brave man.
It's on film. You got to see it.
All right. But you're not anymore as of right now.
No, but I do have not, okay. vegan tendencies. So oh. like there's habits I picked up that month I never dropped. I still don't eat a lot of red meat. I use okay. the vegan butters and vegan based, you know, oils. And, I really check my sodium on stuff and use the low or no sodium, like beans and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So, like, you get a lot healthier. You become a label Nazi when you're a vegan. You're just okay. constantly
reading, seeing what's in there.
Yeah, like you're a slave to labels, and you're just like, wow, this has 1,250 megs of sodium in it. That's one serving of the two servings in this can of beans that I'm just going to pound right now. And there's a can next to it that has 10 megs of sodium in it. And it's like, well, it tastes the same and it's delicious. I like to add my own salt to stuff. So yeah, sodium was a big thing that I'm really conscious of now because of that.
Okay. One of the things when I was doing some research that I discovered that I'm actually somewhat jealous of, you directed a music video for the Fantods.
Oh yeah, those are my buddies, the Fantods.
Really? I love the Fantods.
Yeah, they have a music video, their first one, I think, for Lone Highway, where they turn into zombies and are playing in a graveyard. And
sweet.
It fell before we recorded. We were talking about that kind of dead spot of standard def to high def when you yeah. were making stuff, and then yeah. all of a sudden it was really not relevant.
Right, right.
It's a 4-3 standard def music video. It looks vintagey, and they play vintage instruments and stuff, so it kind of works.
Okay.
But it's still a great video, and they also provide the music for every one of my 48-hour film festivals. A lot of their music is in bong. I just saw Dan Hagquist at the new Ritzies in Clintonville mm-hmm. yesterday.
Yeah.
He's a buddy of mine. They're a great band. They're unfortunately not together anymore.
I know. That breaks my heart, man.
We tried to fill the whole soundtrack with Columbus artists, and okay. just in my head, there was Fantod songs in there before I had made the movie, so I was really lucky to get their permission to use
That's
all
cool.
this music and
That's cool.
work with them a lot. I love the Fantods. Yeah, go look up that Lone Highway music video.
I will. It's still I know cool, the song. I know the song.
It's still a cool zombie music video, yeah.
Yeah, I have several of their EPs and albums.
My buddy John Whitney did a kind of concert film documentary on them called Meet the Fantods.
I remember that. Yeah, dude, because that's awesome. A couple, like, 2009?
Yeah,
2008?
It's a while ago now.
It's a while ago, yeah. You've done a number of 48-hour film fest movies. Do you have a favorite one?
I think my favorite one is still kind of a twosome we did with a character named Gareth Blevins, played by Brian Arnold, who hates cell phones. And the first year was a mockumentary about him throwing a convention for people without cell phones. but nobody shows up because he can't get a hold of anybody. And then the next year we made a movie called Carpool, where Tiffany is at work and accidentally kills her creepy boss. And then the witness that sees her kill that, and then a witness that sees that and has a carload of dead bodies to truck to the graveyard. One of the witnesses was a cameo from Gareth Blevins, showed up and she got to murder him by running him down in the car and strangling him to death.
Did people make that connection between those two?
I think so. We kind of felt snubbed the year with the mockumentary with Gareth. Not really, but it's real playful competition in the 48. So we were like, yeah, you know what? Let's just kill this motherfucker, you know, and kind of bring it back to our film the year before. So I like those, and they're both standing their own as really good movies. But, man, I don't know. It's hard. The last 2 years were really, really good. I was really proud of the films I produced the last 2 years. Death of Marat, which is a really almost silent thriller about a guy recreating constantly a painting with these girls that he murders after, and Tiffany gets away. Spoiler alert. That was an awesome movie. Really fun shoot. Really hard shoot. And then it ended, that won the 48 hour last year, which was really cool. And then this most recent year we did one called Death Toll House, about a cookie that murders a bunch of teenagers. Well, not teenagers, but murders partiers at a lake. And that one as well. So,
there you go.
Back to back victories. Those two are pretty high in my, but I almost don't consider them 48 hour films because they're just so good and they were so kind of what we wanted to do. Whereas those, we were really making a 48 hour film and trying to like connect it and be very 48-y in the ringtone, the Gareth Blevins story, and then Carpool, the loose sequel. But they still have a good place in my
heart. Sure. And for those listeners at home, you know, the 48 is kind of structured where you literally have 48 hours to write, produce, and edit a film, drop it off to the drop-off point. But you're given certain parameters. You have to use a certain character. There's a prop. There's a line of dialogue. And what else?
You pull a genre.
You pull a genre. So
you get a random genre.
Yeah.
It's just fun, man. It's a great weekend of filmmaking.
It is.
And so many teams compete. It's just really cool to think about, man, there's like 250 people making a movie in Columbus right now, this minute, you know?
I wonder if they've ever crossed paths. You know what I mean?
It has to have happened.
Like, somebody's filming on this street.
Well, I know people are in multiple projects.
Sure, I know that.
Like, Derek Stewart's name is always in multiple projects, you know, and you see actors in multiple projects a lot too. I don't know if anyone's ever done two. Like Eric Basso does like multiple sometimes for the three weeks of terror competitions and stuff. He will submit two, which is nuts. But yeah, it's a great weekend of filmmaking. 48 hours, conception to completion, turn in the movie. It's just a great way to get your movie done. And it feels like a sleepover. Everyone's all giddy by the end. Sunday you like turn in or you don't. We've been late before. It's still fucking a great time.
Right, you know what I mean?
You still get to screen and see your movie and stuff too, so.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about a couple of other real quick things here. Who are your favorite directors?
So, sometimes, especially recently since Bong, I get a little shit. They're not necessarily horror directors.
Okay.
But
you like a lot of movies.
I mean, a lot of movies.
We've talked at Video Central, you know, at various different points, you know, you like a lot of different things. You're not just a horror guy.
No, but I love making horror. It's definitely the most fun to make. But yeah, as far as like watching and directors, like I would say Tarantino is a big influence because Pulp Fiction made me want to make movies.
Okay.
It was the one where it's like, I don't just like movies. I want to make them because you can do whatever you want. That edit had me rocked as a little kid. I wasn't probably old enough to watch it, but that, and so all his films before and then since have kind of been an influence to me. But I would say my favorite directors are the Coen brothers, because I love watching anything they create. It's always entertaining. They have very specific motifs, you know. Like I like Wes Anderson because you can tell it's a Wes Anderson film. It's not necessarily my favorite, but that's one of my favorite things about him. But the Coens, their films are so different, but you could probably still guess it's a Coen brothers film because they're that good at telling stories in a wide range. It can be a gritty thriller horror, or it can be like a murder mystery whodunit, like chasing the money, or it can be a hilarious thing about kidnapping a quintuplet. Mm-hmm. And it's always awesome. They also, to me, almost hit perfection with Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? That's such a great imaginative like story. And I think they work really well as directors. But then I think I have the most respect for Werner Herzog, because that man will dig through hundreds and thousands of hours of footage to find the perfect 80 minutes of a documentary about a bear eating a guy. Or he'll make the coolest remake of Nosferatu.
I was going to say.
Or he'll, like, he just will live and die directing, you know. Him and, like, Klaus Kinski had this, like, relationship I don't think we'll ever see again, and was just very, like, I mean, Werner Herzog was like, let's make a movie about a jungle. And to do that, my whole fucking crew is going to live in the jungle and take LSD for maybe 8 months. You know? Like,
yeah.
He was very immersive, and but he's also a funny guy, and he's still making movies. And, man, if he loses a bet, he'll pay up. He ate his shoe on a lost bet once, filmed it, literally boiled and ate his leather shoe. And I just have the most respect for him ever, even though sometimes his movies are a hard watch. Mm-hmm. They're always unique and really awesome. But, yeah, Coen's, Tarantino, Werner Herzog.
Those are all solid picks.
Yeah. Russ Meyer's up there for me. He's got that, you know, like that. That so classics, I'm all over the place, but
classic 60s B movie, man.
Yeah. Those are very video store picks, I think, too. You know, that's a kid growing up in the video store. So
I gotcha. What's the best stoner and zombie films ever made?
So I would say best stoner film alone. It's a toss up. I was a little young. I have a special place in my heart for Half Baked. I love Dave Chappelle.
Okay.
That's very stonery, but I think the best, that's a second runner up. There's still a little too Cheech and Chong, Harold and Kumar for me in Half Baked, which I don't mind. Those are fun, but the best stoner to me was the most realistic one, was Pineapple Express. Okay. I'd never seen characters, a drug dealer that close to real drug dealers, and exploring the relationship of, are you friends with your drug dealer, or are you just kind of like acquaintances, like at work, like, you know, like if they stopped dealing drugs, would you hang out with them ever? I don't know. And it also had the most realistic, like, weed coughing ever, and I just think is a fun caper movie too. So that's, to me, the best stoner's Pineapple Express. And so,
man, zombie film,
best zombie film ever. I really, so it's hard not to say Night of the Living Dead, but that I think that's already in a level of its own.
Yeah,
wouldn't
okay.
be zombie
yeah, no,
films
I
without
totally agree with
Romero.
You. Yeah,
so let's put Night of the Living Dead aside, and let's just say, like, to me, best zombie film. There's two, and man, they're similar styles. For me, neck and neck runner up is Return of the Living Dead.
Okay,
I just love the way they kind of flipped the genre up and revitalized it with fast zombies that talked and some humor, and it's gory and there's boobs and it's hilarious and it's scary and it's got great music and a great ending and one of the most iconic zombies ever in, like, Tar Man, you know. But second runner up, but to me the best is Shaun of the Dead, because it pays homage to so many other types of genre of zombie movies, and Night of the Living Dead specifically, and was really well done, and it's really Edgar Wright. It's a full movie, you know, like just the movie itself, really all the people you see in the opening credits that are zombies later, and like all the situations that kind of wrap around and are different. Like,
it's an ingenious movie. It is.
And supremely entertaining.
Yes.
You know, you watch it over and over and over. I'm kind of bored with Night of the Living Dead. I know it by heart. I've seen it, you know, like, I actually prefer Savini's, the color one from like 81 or something.
Oh yeah. Okay.
The remake, because it's newer to me. I haven't seen it as much, you know, so I love Romero, and I think that's probably why we make zombie movies.
But yeah. I mean, let's be honest.
Shaun of the Dead, man.
Shaun of the Dead. Okay. How about my personal Zombieland?
great movie.
Some love for that?
Fucking great movie.
That was my favorite. Though I will admit I'm not an aficionado.
It did have, thing Shaun of the Dead doesn't have is the gear up scene in the grocery store. Yeah. That's my fucking favorite part of any zombie movie when you gear up, you know, really good.
I like that in Woody Harrelson's Reload.
Woody Harrelson's one of the best zombie hunters ever.
He just lets them go and slams them down, which I should have done that. That was where the mic is. Anyway, that's all right. So that large giant thump listener, sorry, that was
his Woody Harrelson.
That was his impression.
Yeah, Zombieland's pretty good. That's up there for me. Okay. That opening scene, the opening credits are so good. Yeah. All the slow-mo zombies and stuff, you know. Dawn of the Dead remake is up there for me.
Okay.
Just because it has one of the best zombie openings. I really like that one, but it's hard not to beat all the Romeros. The later ones, even, I still kind of like.
Gotcha. All right, well, we're getting up close to wrapping this bad boy up, so let's talk a little bit about some new projects on the horizon, or do you have anything yet, or you're still just going to ride the wave of success that you've had with Bond and the Living Dead?
I mean, we've got several options. We don't really know which way we want to lean. There's a documentary, there's a horror comedy, there's a straight comedy, you know, but really right now, we gave ourselves this whole year to bong it out.
Is that your official title?
Yeah, we're bonging it out. You know?
All right.
And then next year is when we'll start thinking about, you know, what the next project is, which is only a couple months away, but we're still really heavy into the release of Bong and our mm-hmm. final kind of push through all these festivals. Mm-hmm. We got Days of the Dead in Chicago coming up, you know, so like there's still more to do with Bong, and it is a lot to like promote and mm-hmm. manage.
Especially when you're independent. You know, you don't have a major studio behind you that's, you know, writing the checks and all that.
Keep it present without annoying the shit out of people. So
yeah, right.
It's a fine line.
Well, speaking of annoying the shit out of people, you have a couple different social media accounts, correct?
Yes. So you can find me, Max Groh, Groah, on Facebook. That is where I am most active. I still use Messenger and Facebook. Bong of the Living Dead on Facebook. Please follow us there. That is the best spot to get information about how you can get the movie Bong, upcoming screenings, awards, information, stuff about our friends, like cool pictures. If you want, you know, to follow all things Bong of the Living Dead on Facebook. Or you can do Backward Slate Productions on Facebook. But really, right now, all the Backward Slate activity is we're funneling through that Bong page.
Okay.
So
okay.
Just search for Bong the Living Dead on Facebook.
All right.
That's the best place
to. And you have a Twitter too, don't you? Is it
I don't even know what the Twitter is. That's how much we're on Twitter.
Okay, the Twitter is at Bong Living Dead.
Is it?
It is.
Good.
There you go.
Fine. Follow us there. I know we're on Instagram too.
Okay.
Probably Bong the Living Dead at Instagram. I don't know. Is that how Instagram works?
That's, no, I think it's just your time.
Just stick to Facebook, people. I can just use the face. Hit me on the face.
Enough said. On that note, we're just going to end right there. Hit him on the face. Yeah. Don't worry about Twitter or Instagram.
Just hit me on the face.
There you go. Max, man, it's been fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, John. Man, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I will be back to wrap up the episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Max Groh, talking about making movies, man, and talking about his movie, Bong of the Living Dead. And as we mentioned in the conversation, and as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, the company that's behind the Blu-ray, DVD, or VHS release is ScreamTeamReleasing.com. If you want to check out some great independent movies, some great independent horror movies, go over to that website, ScreamTeamReleasing.com. Check out their catalog, pick up Bong of the Living Dead or any other movie you like. And as I said at the beginning, in the intro, they have great customer service. It'll be in your mailbox like that. And before we wrap things up, I want to let you know about some great wrestling shows that are happening here in the next few weeks. I'm going to be at New Ohio Wrestling. That's on November 10th. Kickmaster Foot Golf Facility in Grove City, Ohio. Bell time is 7 p.m. There's going to be a lot of great action. I believe that Matt Taylor is going to be in action. Marion Fontaine, Unchained Brandon Day, Celeste Taylor, the whole crew from NOW is going to be there. So come on out, check out some great wrestling at New Ohio Wrestling. go to their Facebook page. All you got to do is search for New Ohio Wrestling. It'll pop right up, and you can get all the details as to where you can get tickets, how much they are, and whatnot. Then the following weekend, OCW presents Thanksgiving Special 3 at the OCW Arena in Akron. That is on, of course, November 17th. 7 o'clock is bell time there as well, and you could check out all the information either by going to ocwrestling.net or checking out their Facebook page as well to get all the deets that you need to check out either one of those shows. So if you like great wrestling, you got a couple of weeks of some great shows happening here in Ohio. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to tell everybody about this podcast. They can get it a variety of different ways, such as pbdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, or through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, Pod Paradise, the Echo Network, Libsyn. Oh man, just wherever you search for podcasts, if you just type in PBDcast and sometimes PBDcast and John Orlando, you'll find it. I guarantee that it's spreading like wildfire, folks. So you definitely want to catch every single episode. So don't forget to rate. Don't forget to review. Don't forget to subscribe. So that helps everybody out. Helps you out. Helps me out. And hey, man, it's a win-win. So with that being said, I'm going to get on out of here. I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent.